Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
My name is John.
My name is Arvin.
It has been a while, and this is behind the scenes
of our best days.
Season 7. Season 7.
Isn't that wild?
We've been friends that long?
Yeah, dude. 7 seasons.
Well, I think we became friends season 4.
Yeah, that's right.
We actually hated each other the first 4 seasons.
No, true. It was weird because I worked for him, and he was just really, really mean.
Really mean?
Yeah.
Really rude. I'd push him down the stairs.
Yeah, dude.
But
I was like, no, but I'm earning, like, you get it? Like, I'm paying my dues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were like, I'm Joseph in the pit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny when we say it, but that's how corporate America works.
We're just kidding.
Oh,
okay, but basically, we are friends.
Cody, do you want a chair? There's a chair here.
Yes.
Introducing Cody Applegate, our
Cody
new producer.
Cody Applegate is a new producer on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's really, really awesome.
Yes.
And, okay, Cody, can you come around here and just wave into the camera? Yeah, buddy. Cody actually started out as an intern in our creative department. Was it 7 years ago? The first time. 7 years ago, he interned. He did graphic design. He was kind of feeling, not physically, but like emotionally, he was feeling this girl named Samantha.
Yeah.
And she was over our social media and prod squad photography. You know, it's like behind the scenes kind of rom-com stuff.
Yeah, meet cutes.
Fast forward.
Oh, yeah.
They are now married.
Yeah, absolutely.
So literally, God is working behind the scenes on your love life.
You never know. You never know.
You never know.
So get involved in service and dream team.
Yes, is a great plug. For those of you who say, what is this podcast? Why should I be listening? Why have you guys not given up after 7 seasons?
Because I enjoy listening to them.
Dude, I enjoy
it. I post
it.
Them. I listen to them. I like them.
Yeah, I do too.
I'll remember later on. I go, oh, yeah, we talked about that. That's fantastic.
Yes. Okay, well, we just to a refresher, those of you who have been following us for all this time, you're going to get tired of it. But we see you and we notice you and we love you. So buckle up and hold on. So this podcast is at Victory Church.
Mm-hmm.
We get to serve on the creative team. What do we do throughout a year? 12 months.
Oh, okay. So we do the 3 large scale productions, Christmas, Easter, and fall film.
And we just finished with something.
We just finished Christmas. And we're
another event.
Oh yeah, the event, the Super Bowl of our year is Victory Conference.
Victory Conference just happened a few weeks ago, January 2024. We're recording this in January 2024, and we had so many awesome speakers. But anyways, we're involved in that, and then our week to week services at different campuses.
Yeah.
Victory is an entity that has a camp, 2 dream centers, which is a place of outreach, helping low-income people get back on their feet.
Yeah.
It has a school, pre-K through 12, a Bible college, and then our campuses.
Yes, absolutely. We operate at both ends of the economic spectrum, helping
it
people
is,
on both sides.
It's fun.
Absolutely.
So anyways, but we currently finished with conference.
Yeah.
And one thing that you said, we're just going to do a quick recap and then we're going to get into it, but we had, who were the guest speakers?
We had the privilege of hearing from our own pastor, Paul Daugherty, who we love very much.
Yes.
We heard from Bob Goff.
Bob Goff, who is kind of like Mr. Rogers meets crack cocaine.
Yeah. He's a lot of energy, but very, very...
We don't do crack, FYI.
No, nor cocaine.
Nor none of that.
Neither of them. But he's very kind and playful and kind of grandpa vibe. But then he'll say things that you go, wow, that's really profound or really beautiful or important to pay attention to.
Yeah, no, he has a great perspective on God.
That's right. That's right.
Heaven.
And you want to operate your life of faith in a way that resembles him, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Then we had Sammy Rodriguez.
Sammy Rodriguez.
Absolutely. People love him. And then Keon Henderson, Pastor Keon Henderson from Houston,
Texas. Houston.
Yeah, love that one. And then we had Bill Johnson
from Bethel
finish
Man.
Out conference.
Yeah, and what about who was your favorite one? Or who was your least favorite? Just kidding.
That's
Don't
hilarious.
Say that. Don't
yeah.
say that.
No, I really enjoyed Bill Johnson in particular. It was very in-depth. He said things in such a... He's describing incredibly complex ideas in a way that is absolutely simple and approachable, low barrier to entry to understand. And I really appreciate it. You can't really do that. You can't fake that, I don't think.
No, what he communicated, because he lost his wife recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's public knowledge. Like, we're not just revealing that.
No, he talked about it.
Talked about it.
Yeah.
But, like, one of his messages, he spoke multiple times. So much wisdom. You can tell the man has been in the presence of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm like, okay, he is a prayer. He's a man of prayer.
Yes, absolutely.
You can just tell.
Yeah.
The way he communicates and the way he comes across. He always starts off with jokes.
Yeah. Hilarious.
And here's
it's
the thing.
So
deadpan
funny.
Face.
Yeah, yeah. Dad vibe. Just dad
jokes,
joke vibe. Yeah.
And then we'll chuckle.
Yeah.
And then he will go, so many believers leave the faith because of two things. They don't know how to handle resentment, and they don't know how to handle disappointment.
Yeah.
Today I'm going to talk about how to handle disappointment.
Yeah. And you're just like, whoa, buckle up. Here we go. Yeah.
And then he just dives in deep in the word 100%.
Of
God and what the presence of God does it. And I just, so like he's vulnerable talking about how to deal with disappointment as a believer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he's talking about his own story.
Totally.
Very and it's good. Just so fresh. Yeah. But then he talks about the grace of God and the Holy Spirit and how it comes and just gives you grace during that time. And you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, so it's awesome. So we're grateful. Yeah.
Very grateful. You can always tell, good speakers from great speakers, because a good speaker, you hear them and you go, wow, I'd like to know more about him or her. A great speaker, at least in the church context, when you hear them speak, you go, I really want to go spend time alone with God.
Mm.
There's a big, big difference.
That's true.
The good ones are still great. Like, they're good, great people and all that. I'm not whatever. And I'm not naming anybody anyway. But I'm saying in general, I really appreciate the ones that afterward I'm like, and maybe that's a thing for each person. Maybe it's not about them at all. Maybe they're all great speakers and it's just that some of them make me want to go spend time with God and others don't.
Who makes you not want to spend time with God?
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Kidding. No. No, that would be that's the funny. Gloves would come off after that. Just kidding.
Yeah. the gloves that were not wearing. I go, who's got gloves? What's going on?
Gloves.
Who showed up with boxing gloves? That's hilarious.
Okay. Well, this being season 7, thinking about whenever we started, we kind of started around this time. Currently, like in about 3 days, we begin filming for Easter 2024.
Yeah. I leave later today to go get stuff ready at the first film set.
Oh, my
goodness. So after this episode, I'm going to drive out there and
okay,
get it ready.
So some of you guys don't know this. So we just finished this Christmas production, which you can watch online.
On YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, it's called The Christmas Thread.
That's right.
And we basically, about 7 years ago, God put it on the inside of our heart, like, write 7 scripts, 7 Christmas scripts, 7 Easter scripts, and 7 stories of fall film.
Yeah.
And then begin to revisit those.
Yeah.
Well, we're going on year 11.
Yeah.
So we are going back and revisiting scripts that were written in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying, okay, but what is the word of God saying now?
Yeah.
Like, what is God saying now in 2024 to the people? Mm-hmm. And then we redo all of the songs.
Yeah.
And then we redo the script.
Yeah.
It sometimes has a similar taste.
Sure.
But
it premise,
is a new story.
Right. Right.
So that's what we're doing. So this one for this Easter is called Proof.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we did this one in 2019. It was actually the last year that I played Jesus.
Amazing.
And
yeah.
That, and I knew it because I remember getting cleaned up after night one, after being whipped and crucified.
Yeah.
And I said out loud, I go, this is the last time I'm going to.
Yeah.
And the makeup girls go, oh, no. You have 6 more. You have 7 more services.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go, oh, I mean, next year.
Yeah. Like, this is it. Yeah.
But I was like super beat up.
Yeah.
I remember catching a whip.
Yeah.
Which is such a funny sentence to say.
No, sure. Sure.
It you know.
Yeah.
I caught a whip in the corner of my eye and it got stuck. And then the guy pulled it back.
Yo.
And I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
I cussed. No, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
I realized I needed to go to the altar because Jesus cussed. Now, thank God it was during a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
But everyone there heard
incredible.
Me.
Sure. Sure.
It was bad news.
Yeah, sure.
And then the guy that whipped me just stopped and he was like, I'm so sorry. And Ryan Stafford goes, keep going.
Yeah.
Because it was mid-song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
he wanted to time it right.
It was so
that's gotta be, there needs to be a conference of all the guys that have played Jesus over the years
and just calling them
and
up,
all of them just talking
and
about
and seeing where they're at now in their walk with God.
Totally. Like, what's the worst thing that happened while you were doing that? Because sometimes we partner with the folks at the Great Passion Play, and Kent
the Great
Butler
so
plays
the Great
Jesus
Passion
there.
Play is a place that actually does the story of the gospel, and it's in the Ozark Mountains.
Yeah, beautiful
of Arkansas.
Amphitheater, outdoor.
You can Google it. And it has like, okay, what's Rio de Janeiro?
Jesus? The big Jesus.
The big Jesus in Brazil.
I don't know what
they have a miniature version of this.
Yeah, it's really funny.
In Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
It's true. Yeah.
It is such a weird place. It's like New Age. The actual town is like a New Age mountain town.
Very interesting vibe. Yeah.
And, you know, like a lot of Subarus.
Yeah. I think it's okay to say it is the lesbian capital of the United States.
It's the lesbian
famous for being
capital
the
of
place
America.
Where women who and are lesbians, they get together and that's
we're not
where
making
they,
like
no.
But it is unique that is the place.
Yeah.
In that town.
Yeah.
You have that. And you have these new age shops where you can buy, you know, mood
crystals
rings and dream catchers
and
crystals. And
yeah.
And then 1 mile down the road is a massive amphitheater
Jesus.
Of a gigantic Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is bizarro
That's
world.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
You guys should just visit just to be like, where are we?
Yeah, it is like a little, you feel like you're on the set of like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's just a different.
And then
not that I would know, mom and dad.
Yeah. And then they have a biblical walkthrough that can take you to the Holy of Holies.
Yes, that's right.
It is.
It's really cool.
Anyways, so long story short, sorry.
Yes. No, my bad.
We worked with them before.
Yeah, we filmed there often. Yeah. And it's just fun to.
To meet the guy.
The guy who runs it also plays Jesus. His name's Kent Butler. He's a sweetheart. And he's been so kind to us over the
years. Dude, Kent looks like Jesus.
He looks like year round. He has to keep
year round. He has to keep it.
Beard, long curly hair, but he's also super kind. I just think I've had this idea for a long time, and this is kind of derivative of what we're saying.
No, no, go for it.
But there have been all these guys. I don't know if you'll find this funny. I think I find it funny. There have been people all over the world. There's a few of them in South America. There's a guy in Siberia and like Russia who are like, I am the second coming of Jesus Christ. Like they're cult leaders.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
they
had this idea. Yeah, I've got this idea for a long time that we do a reality show where you bring all of them together and they compete to prove who the real Jesus is.
And what do we call it? Book of Revelations?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever you want to go.
Tribulation?
I haven't named it yet. If you have naming rights, we can, or ideas.
I remember whenever my mom was... Whenever after my dad passed, my mom stepped in as head pastor at Victory. She's praying over the altar. A man who's like 6'4" walked forward, walked through the middle doors. He had not been there through the service.
Oh, wow.
Walked through the middle doors from the lobby all the way straight down, beeline towards my mom. The ushers and security started walking towards it. And he walked up to my mom and he goes, I am the second coming of Christ. My name is Jesus.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, you are not.
Nice,
and he goes, okay. He tipped his hat to her.
Oh, weird.
Turned around and walked out.
That's wild.
A cowboy hat. A 6'4" cowboy
goes,
Jesus.
Okay.
No, literally. He was like, my name is Jesus.
That's how I want to end it is when the guy wins, when it's down to the last two, the guy who wins, we go, okay, you've won. We're going to crucify you. And if you resurrect in 3 days, dude, then you win the money.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it's sacrilegious. I think TBN should jump on this opportunity.
Yeah. No, the producer at TBN, Tom Newman, we need your help.
It's time, dude.
It is time.
I want to maybe satirically, I want to make that show. I think that'd be funny.
Yes. And again, we're not being sacrilegious.
No, I love the Lord. I ask God about this.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. You've talked about
it.
God's like, yeah, really? I'm going to flip tables.
We were talking this morning about this. I used to make this joke with my wife where she would be like, what'd you do today? And I go, oh, I woke up, I prayed, I read my Bible, and God said he missed you. So
making her feel guilty for not spending time with God.
It's because I feel so weird when I tell someone I prayed and read my Bible. So Cody and I were talking about that. And so immediately you want to make a joke that makes it fine. But I will say that to people, and I just thought about that too.
That is so interesting.
He says he misses you. And have you called him lately? Like, what's going on?
as far
she would roll her eyes.
Okay. So currently in 2024, it's already been exciting because there's things going on like Taylor Swift is now playing for the NFL.
Praise God, and, dude. It's about time.
Yeah. Honestly, yes.
Super Bowl Swift. I love it.
Super Bowl Swift. Yeah. And girls need equal rights.
That's right. The WNFL. We should stop here.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Anyways, no. So you have the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We had conference. We're getting ready to go into Easter.
Yes.
And the thing that we are looking at as we, one of the unique things is Easter is casting the disciples for Easter.
Yeah.
And whenever we're casting the disciples, I always love to go back and read through the Gospels.
Yeah.
And kind of like think about each individual and why they do the things they did from Theophilus,
sure.
Barnabas,
yeah,
Peter,
yeah.
Judas, Thomas,
sure,
you John, know, and then John, yeah. Matthew, Luke, reading through and kind of figuring out and then placing people in those positions.
Yeah.
And then really, and then as you begin thinking, these men did ministry for 3 years,
yeah.
side by side, and then all of a sudden,
yeah.
it was over. And you have different people who were blue collar.
Sure.
That were fishermen.
Yeah.
And then you have guys that were like physicians.
Sure.
Like Luke.
Yeah.
And then Matthew was a tax collector.
Wealthy guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that none of them were preachers.
Right.
Because Jesus didn't need a preacher.
No, it's true. Yeah. He still doesn't.
He still doesn't.
But we're grateful for. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but that is. And so as I'm looking through this, I'm like, man, just imagine the relational things with the men and Jesus. And then you look at the women that funded Jesus's ministry.
That's true, yeah.
So this upcoming year, we're so excited because we're actually honing in on several names that helped fund Jesus's ministry.
That's right, yeah.
And so they are.
So part of that group is Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene, Jesus, who was set free from demons,
prostitution, all this stuff. And then there's a group, it's in Luke chapter 8, if you look at it. It's Joanna, whose husband is Herod's CFO.
So, hold on. Let's slow down.
Sure.
So, Joanna.
Yeah,
Joanna. Her husband is King Herod's...
Chief financial officer.
Chief financial... But she's following Jesus.
Yeah, she's funding Jesus' ministry.
She's funding Jesus, and then later...
Yeah.
Herod gets to meet Jesus after Pilate sends it
right,
to him.
Right, right, right.
Man.
It's wild.
That is such good, thick interconnection storytelling.
It is, honestly.
Okay, so continue.
You've got Joanna, and then I know less about Susanna and Salome. I think I'm saying Salome correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, these three or four, we've kind of created an ensemble of them because according to scripture, they were there and they were funding it and they were helping Jesus's ministry move forward.
I just think that is so cool.
I think it's awesome. Yeah.
But anyways, but whenever you're thinking back about like the dynamics of friendship and connection, you know, even back in that day and time, and I remember there was some funny relational motives that kind of were hinted at in scripture.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the two brothers that were like, hey, so whenever you go to heaven, can we like sit by you?
Let's
and everyone else was upset.
Yeah.
And then John was like, well, I'm the one that he loves.
Right. Yeah.
And Peter was like, hey, I believe you're the Son of God, but I also don't think you should get crucified. And then he was like, well, you're the devil. Get behind me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just funny just understanding all of these unique friendship dynamics.
Totally.
That whenever you read them, you're like, oh, yeah, that's the Bible. But whenever you really look at them, you're like, oh, wait, I experienced these dynamics today in 2024.
Constantly. Yeah. Yeah. If you've ever had a roommate and you've had weird, like unspoken things between you and a roommate, then you've got an understanding of what Jesus and these 12 men are dealing with because they're walking together. They're living together. They're sleeping around the same area. Like it is a that much. If you've ever been on a mission trip and you've been with the same group of people for 10, 12 days, or I did one for a month one time, like after that long, you're like, I can take a break. Like,
yeah.
I'm good with people.
Even someone that you truly do love.
Yeah. No matter. I mean, and once you get in a relationship with somebody, even still, like that's part of the marriage dynamic is over time stuff shifts and you have to, the thing where you can tolerate something for a month because you're on a mission trip or for a week because you're in out of town with someone on a work trip of some kind, it goes away because you're like, if I don't confront these things, this will happen all the time. I have to address this. I have to deal with this. I remember, I don't know. I've just in my 20s, I had so many different roommates. And then I had friends who were young women who had a bunch of roommates, and they would come tell me about their roommate drama. And I had mine, and it was just like I had. I'm thinking of all these stories.
No, but
I'm
that's
just going
good.
On and
well,
on.
So this
yeah.
is what I'm getting to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that in ministry, you see a falling out of friendships or growing
sure.
apart, and then people decide to leave ministries, or they decide
yeah.
to like, or maybe they're not working. Maybe they're members.
Sure.
And they were like, oh, our connect group was this.
Yeah.
But then something happened. There was a shift.
Yeah.
And it all comes into dynamics. And so what one thing that we were talking about was
mm-hmm.
About, you know, friendship, disciples, and like, why are men not saying, why is it so hard for a man to really talk to another man?
Yeah.
And be very open
right.
and honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it not, it be, and I understand it is embarrassing.
Sure.
And I know that there's different generations where some things are like,
yeah,
some individuals believe, well, I just feel like there's certain things that are better left unsaid. Yes. And then whenever there's relationships involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So go.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about, we saw another clip of some kind about individuals in Australia who like the government created these sheds where men would get together and they were assigned tasks to like repair lawnmowers and work on things together and help with carpentry. And it just forced men to start talking to each other because they studied it and realized like a society needs men who are capable of looking at each other and talking to each other. And then as they observe that dynamic, they would notice that it's very, very rare, almost weird, for two men to speak to one another facing each other directly.
That is so fascinating.
With their feet facing
each other.
So if
you're a dude listening to this, think about the next time you talk to someone, look at your feet.
Yeah. If you move to adjust directly in front, you'll notice they will switch to stand at an angle.
There's a change in
energy. Yeah, 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 yeah. People will naturally adjust their angle. A lot of men will stand in, like, maybe that's why the Passover was painted that way. Maybe all these dudes are on one side.
Yeah, because it was from the side.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus was probably one of the only people that could like look you in your eyes.
Sure. And that's a lot. You
that's
know?
Huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But then thinking through like if you're a believer and the goal is I want to be a whole man, I want to be a man of God or whatever.
Sure.
There's just certain things that you're going to have to confront.
Sure.
And you see the push away from men. Not all, but like. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten a whole lot better.
Of course.
But
yeah.
when it comes to relationships and being able to trust one another and
yeah.
being vulnerable and also holding each other accountable and those things. Because I will say one thing that Bill Johnson said at conferences, he said, if you want to know what the devil is scared of, look at what he is attacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Currently, what the devil is attacking, I don't want to be preacher boy on
Go
my
for
soapbox.
It. Yeah.
Currently, what the devil is attacking is man.
Yeah, masculinity.
Masculinity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we see that.
Yeah.
And you guys, you'd have to have your head underneath the rock to not believe that masculinity is not being attacked. And I believe that women are powerful, that they can be independent, that
mm-hmm.
they, again, funded Jesus's mm-hmm. ministry. But there is a necessary place
yeah.
for men to also even call out the man inside of young men.
Well, let me also say part of the reason he attacks masculinity is because if the devil looks at his grocery list and it says attack men, attack women, attack this, whatever, by attacking men, he can knock out both.
Yeah.
Because if he goes, if I attack men, they'll attack women for me.
Yeah.
I don't need to attack women. And so it's become a cultural thing now where that's the narrative, and there are people who understand that narrative, like the problem. They're right about the problem, they're wrong about the solution.
So what are you saying? Like, what do people say the problem is?
The problem is men try to take all the power and lord it over women and children, and in many situations that has been the case, but that's not because they're men, that's because they're human. So the problem
that's
here is
word.
Then on the other side they go, the solution is to completely reverse it completely. And be that's a very binary approach to it that's extremely wrong. Bill Hader, he's a writer, he's from Tulsa.
Yeah, Bill Hader was in Barry.
Barry, he's done Night Saturday Night
HBO
show. He said something about screenwriting that really applies to society as a whole. He says, if I write a script and someone reads it and goes, this relationship between the husband and wife, it's not working. They are right about the fact that it's not working. What they're going to say next as the solution is always wrong.
No, I heard that. Yeah,
I think
you
said this to me.
Yeah.
Because he says if they can tell something's wrong, they're right. When they tell you how to fix it, they're wrong. So most of us.
The only way to fix it is by looking at the word of God.
That's right. That's true. It's true. Because then you have to wonder if you have binary thinking, and I'm going to say this carefully because I don't want to clip this and make it misunderstood. If you go, okay, men should not be in charge, that's a problem. Women should then just be in charge. I go, okay, so you want the right to make the same mistakes that men did and to do the same atrocities that men have made. Okay, that's like saying the answer to the atrocities of slavery in the past is to just reverse it and make white people slaves now. It's like, is that going to be the solution? If it was so bad then, it's still bad now in any category with any race. It's never a good answer. So all that to say, by attacking masculinity, by deforming it, by concentrating it into something negative, you can attack women as well. So I think that's why we need to approach it with a lot of gentleness of like, okay, what's the actual, we can tell something's wrong. We can't assume we know the solution, which is where learning comes in.
So what would you say is the solution?
I mean, for something that massive, the bottom line of it would be that there is no substitute for a man or woman who fears God in society. And because at that point, you can entrust them with power and they won't decide what to do with it. They will ask God what to do with it.
Okay, say that one more time.
There's no substitute for a man or woman who fears God. And that's because God can trust that person with power because they will not decide what to do with the power. They will ask, what do you want me to do with this? I noticed this big box of power and authority and impact and influence. You've made this, whatever we're doing is popular and people will pay attention. What do you want us to do with it? Versus, this gets personal now.
Say it.
What I'm having to turn the camera on myself lately and look at my own human corruptibility and depravity is, am I trying to trick God into giving me power so that I don't need him anymore? So what's come to the surface of my heart recently is sometimes I fantasize about the future. And I have this deep fear that it's not going to happen. And I'm right and I'm wrong. I think that the specific things I want to do, I will end up doing. But underneath them, if I investigate for a long enough period of time, there is this thing of, and the reason I will do them is because by that point, I'll be the Lord of my life. And I've had these gentle confrontations with, I want to say, the Holy Spirit lately, being like, you don't understand. The purpose of my lordship and mastery over your life is so that I can create intimacy. My lordship creates a covering and a container for there to be intimacy. You've got it backwards. You're trying to get really intimate with me so I will give you lordship.
Man,
and
that's
it hits
really good.
Super strong. And so I know we're like talking about masculinity and all this stuff, but,
no, but
that's
where
it
all
starts
down. To your identity.
Yeah, it does. It comes down to, are you trying to be the Lord of your own life, man or woman?
Yeah.
And to what length will you go to try?
Yes.
Because sometimes I catch myself and I go, wow, you're doing this church thing really good, man.
Yeah.
You're doing your Christian people think highly of you. And it's good that they do because there's fruit and God tells them to pay attention to fruit. But then he says in 1 Samuel, but I'm looking at roots.
Oh, my goodness. There was a yes. I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Go on.
Looking
go.
At the roots.
Yeah.
Man.
Do you want a Bible? What do you need?
Notebook. Okay. There's this. It's all right. I think I can remember it. There's a scripture. I just forget the address.
Sure. That's right.
It is right after Jesus flipped the tables.
Yeah.
And then he said, they were saying something and he said, but he knew what was in their heart.
Yeah.
He did not need anyone
to
tell
him about human nature.
About human nature.
That's
because
right.
he knew.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And there's certain versions that are really cool when you read that.
Yeah.
Because Jesus knows human nature.
That's right.
And human nature is we're all screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always going to, there's always going to be a temptation to make the wrong decision.
Sure.
So anyways, now when you put that in ministry.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
When you put that at churches and people get so upset at ministries or individuals for doing this and doing that, and they go on this righteous whatever.
Right. Yeah. I'll point out what's wrong with all y'all.
I'll point out what's wrong with all of you guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, okay, it's only a matter of time
before
that happens to you, or it's already happened to you and you're just not
this
famous.
Is why. Yeah, right. No, it's true.
And so no one knows.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
And so I just think, that is, So as far as like with human nature, asking those questions, and, you know, as I was just talking, so Cody, he has a nephew in a class that I coach. So I also help out on the school side.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing, strength training.
Yeah.
With all of the athletes, 5th through 12th grade. Well, we go to powerlifting meets. Now, powerlifting is a big deal in Oklahoma. Yeah. I don't know if it's in other states.
Sure.
But there's junior high powerlifting meets.
Yeah.
And there's high school powerlifting meets. And you go and you compete in the squat, bench, and deadlift. And then they take your top lifts. They compile them together. And, you can, and then there's 13 weight classes. So you lift against people in your own weight class.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that total is,
that's
who wins. And then if it comes down to the wire, then they divide your body weight by your total amount.
Incredible.
And it's the highest.
Averaged up.
Yeah, it's like this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've probably been to, maybe 15 of these meets.
Yeah.
Well, I take these middle school boys.
Yeah.
All of them. The first meet were terrified.
Hmm.
And the whole time they were looking at all of the other boys at all of the other schools, and it's held in a gym and people are seated in this round and they're all looking. And the whole thing is with these, and it also was with the high school guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also girls that do it.
Nice.
They're also nervous because they're looking at, other people and what they wrote down.
Yeah.
Because everyone's first attempts are up there.
Yeah.
Like on a screen.
Yeah.
And then they're like, my attempt is not as big. And I always tell them, I go, I'm just letting you know, some of these kids put down an ego lift.
Yeah.
And they're going to scratch.
Right.
Which means they're not going to go parallel.
Yeah.
Or they're going to do something to mess themselves up.
Yeah.
And I have to tell them, all that matters is you and that bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's that weight. Now you can carry and lift that weight.
There's a sermon here. This is awesome.
Yeah. Like lift the weight.
Yeah.
And then
beautiful.
If the judge will give you a thumbs up if you're good or a thumbs down if you scratch.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, what is your second attempt? And then they enter it in and it goes up on the screen.
Yeah.
And I go, so before we even go, I have them all do their first attempt. So that way when they see it in competition, they're not scared.
Good.
And all I talk about is, and they won't care if I say their name.
Yeah.
I'll say Zane, Cooper, Cody's nephew, Ephraim. I'll go, Ephraim, all that matters is you in that bar.
Nice.
Everyone else in here, nothing matters.
Yeah.
So what is your opening lift? Well, I'm going to do this. Okay. And what's your second lift? Well, this. And then they'll say a number and I'll go, now, have you ever done that before?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's do something that you know you can get. And then on that third, on that last one, we'll go 5 pounds above what you just got.
Yeah.
And it's right on that edge. And it's learning how to work with these young men to push them to an extent to where they go, I just did something that I didn't think I could do.
Yeah.
And I was like, and you did it for you.
Yeah.
And whenever you have them focusing on themselves, all of a sudden they begin to feel better about themselves. Now we're going to our second powerlifting meet tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they already have experienced the fear and everything. They've got the jitters out and they go, okay, so my first attempt is this. My second attempt is this. And now it's like they're having fun,
beautiful.
But it's because now they're very sure of themselves.
That's awesome.
As a young man, you just have to be sure of yourself.
That's a big deal.
And then as you get older,
you
look where people, embezzle funds,
sure.
Or you look at people who are sleeping around whenever they're married or doing certain things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It's because they don't fear God and they don't believe in themselves.
Ego lifting.
It's their ego lifting.
Interesting.
And so, anyways, it is just an interesting thing when it comes to men. Now, again, I can't speak for women.
Sure.
But, you know, it is. And so if you're looking for that, you should probably listen to another podcast because I'm not going to pretend to even know that. But for those of you who are listening, as we are coming to a close today, I think it is just very important to know, like, that whatever the devil is afraid of, that's what he's attacking.
That's right.
In your life.
Yeah.
All right. And then behind the scenes, you can look at yourself in the mirror and not get your 3-year plan confused with your 10-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because what God can do in 10 years is absolutely insane.
Yeah, definitely.
And sometimes we think our 10-year plan should be here in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, if we're all guaranteed biblically in scripture, we're actually allowed to live to 120. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
If you're in it for the long haul, then you're like, okay, I'm not going to become close to God so that he can give me something.
Right.
And so that I can be my own God.
Yeah.
You know, when it's time,
mm-hmm.
all right,
yeah,
in God's timing,
sure,
he will put the weight on my back in which I can squat.
That's right.
And when that happens, I'll say, okay,
yeah,
I got this medal,
yeah,
for placing, sure, for winning. Now, sure, what do I do with this power?
That's right.
As opposed to, I need this power in order to know that I'm important.
That's right. I agree. Yeah, what it comes down to, even the fear of God part, is trust. Do you trust him? Do you trust that, if to use your metaphor, if the person who's been training you every day in the gym, do you trust that they did it correctly? Like, this meat doesn't have to feel different than being in training. And then the other thing is, if you, the extent to which you trust your coach, your experience, the process that you've been in, that's how much you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
And the goal is to enjoy it.
Yes.
Because the number, and I'm saying this sensitively, the number of successful Olympic athletes who have, in the aftermath of their gold medal, taken their own life is alarmingly high. There was a documentary about it. I don't remember the name, and I actually wouldn't say it if I did, because it ends really poorly. They just talk about this problem, and then they go, yeah, it sucks. Yeah. And the credits roll, and you're like, what up?
Whoa.
What else?
Life,
but it's the idea,
the
achievement outside of enjoying it with the people you're around. This is why in 2 Peter, God talks about this long process of, like, add to your faith, supplement it with moral excellence, godly character, patient endurance. The last two are brotherly affection or sisterly affection and love for everyone, which you think you would start there, but it's actually something that you work your way up to, a genuine love for everybody. I am finally, I can say this with no shame, finally at 31, after 3 decades in church, this is the first season of my life that I genuinely love people I don't even know. And I feel brotherly affection for them. And life is hitting me very differently. And it's coming into the extent, and I know we're wrapping up here, it comes to the extent that I actually trust. Because that whole thing I'm saying about where you're like, I'm going to earn enough and I'll ego lift and I'll, and maybe if I'm wealthy, people will think this about me. It's the idea of perception and everything for a man. And do I have what it takes? And am I enough, et cetera? And do women like me? And I can prove it because these women want to sleep with me because I lied to them about how much money it's all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to, you're trying to trick people or trick God. If you're in a church context, trick God into giving you this life that you want. The problem with that is that it is all based on a lie that he doesn't want that for you already.
Mm.
I have to trick you, God, into giving me the life that I want from you, because I'm not convinced that you want to give it to me already. When on his side, he's like, actually, it says in Luke 12:32, it says, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
It pleases my Father to give you his kingdom, to give you a life lived by his power.
That's wonderful.
So to land on that, to really trust it, it will break you.
Yeah.
Because brokenness is not wanting to be worshiped. And it's really beautiful when you now know why you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first half of brokenness is, I don't want anyone to worship me. The second half is, and I know why they shouldn't.
Yes.
And as I stare that in the face lately, I go, okay, it does come down to I do trust that God feels. When you do that, work backwards from it. You fear God. You know what to do with power. You know what to do with your talent. And then your masculinity or femininity land in the place they should. And next thing you know, you're enjoying your life, the process, the people you're with. You actually love everybody.
That's so beautiful.
I agree.
That's so beautiful. Thank you, Arvin, for sharing that.
Yeah,
and thank you guys for listening. You know, a lot of the things that we talked about are actually in Pastor Paul's book, Mind Games.
Yeah, dude. Check it out.
So Pastor Paul's book, Mind Games, it's not just for people who are like, I'm crazy or I'm bipolar or I'm depressed. I want to commit suicide.
Yeah, if you have a
I'm
mind.
I'm not making saying flippant statements.
No, it's true.
But it's really for, it's really if you are wanting to go to a new level just in your life.
Yeah.
We want to encourage you to check out Pastor Paul Daugherty's book, Mind Games. You can get it on Amazon or pauldaugherty.org.
Wherever books are sold.
Wherever books are sold. Hey, we love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
What'd you think?
Did we get it?
That was awesome.